Chicago's home for sports is live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on ESPN 1000.
This is WMVP WSAG HD2 Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Waddle was just talking about off the air how much he's looking forward to tonight.
How can you not look forward to tonight? It is a sports smorgasbord.
Can you say that word again?
A sports smorgasbord.
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 I'm just overemphasizing when you don't know how to say it. You're just like, that's how, when you've come across a word that you're really uncomfortable pronouncing because you know you always pronounce it incorrectly, you just mumble it a little bit.
Waddle's wife is out of town. She's on a naked tennis trip.
I think that's probably in some ways a fair statement.
And so he's got the Waddle sports book open. He was saying that he doesn't even have enough TVs.
I don't have enough TVs.
List off what you got tonight.
I got NFL football. Right. I got the Broncos and the Browns. I got NBA basketball. I got the Blackhawks looking for their first win, repping the Blackhawks today, looking for their first win of the season.
Trying to turn around a little bit of the mojo for the Blackhawks, and he's wearing his Hawks shirt.
I bet I have some college football. I've got Major League Baseball playoffs, and Remington.
It's a must win for the Dodgers.
First race is 7:07 at Remington Park in Oklahoma.
This is the best.
I got a house full of booze. I mean, I got plenty of seats available.
Abdallah, you saw what was going on when we were in Vegas, didn't you? That in the middle of the Bears Vegas game, that Waddle was watching horse racing and betting on races, right?
Not only during the game, but I mean, we were treated to a wonderful. Wonderful performance by Chris Ludacris Bridges.
Yes.
During halftime. Now, that's something you don't listen. They bring the dog out, which I love dogs. Love the dog show. You get dogs at Soldier Field. Yeah. You get the quick change at the Bulls game.
Quick change's fun.
It's great. But in Vegas, Chris Ludacris Bridges is performing.
Luda.
Hit after hit after hit.
Yes.
And what's Waddle
and guess
doing?
What?
Sitting down, watching races.
I think I had a grade 2 race from Belmont and a grade 1 race from Keeneland.
When did you get so into the betting on the horses?
I grew up going to horse racing with my brother and my dad.
This has been the last couple of years
we were in Vegas at the world's largest sports book. So when,
Bears game.
You couldn't bet horses
I get it. I was still in the betting mode, and I could hear Ludacris doing his thing. I didn't need to be over there with the overbite going.
No, that was me.
Right.
That was
like, you
terrible.
Had that taken care
terrible.
Of.
Terrible, yeah.
You had the overbite and the bad dancing going on. I was trying to win a couple of dollars on a grade one turf race.
It was more like overbite and head nodding, I think, is how I it wasn't dancing. But
just saying, like, I got a full night of. A full night of sports room. It's brilliant.
So you turn on TVG. You'll put on TVG on one of your...
I don't have enough televisions.
Well, look, you've got 3 TVs for sporting events.
Yeah.
You've got a MacBook, right? Don't you have one of the...
computer. Are you talking about a computer?
Yeah, you've got your laptop. Yeah. And then open something up on your phone. That's
yeah.
5 screens right there.
I can bounce back and forth. The problem is like, I have a universal clicker. But the way that my TVs are wired, you have to use each clicker for each individual television. And I know that doesn't surprise anybody. It was wired kind of weird. And
wait a minute. What's this? Give me this
again. I got TV,
again.
Big TV,
right.
TV.
But then you got 3 remotes that run all 3 TVs?
Yeah,
that sucks. No bueno.
I know.
There.
It sucks.
No.
I know. I have to
you
get
need
up
someone,
and turn on the... I know.
You need someone over.
I got
to
call Steve Shapiro from App.
Yeah, App needs to get over there, and they need to fix that thing.
Yeah. Fix that thing. I mean, it's confusing, but like everything in life.
It's like my parents.
Exactly. I know. It would be confusing to you and inconvenient to you and everybody else. To me, it's just normal.
It's wild.
It's just a way of life for me.
It's very wild.
It is. It's just a way of life.
Paying for AOL.
Yes.
3 remotes to control 3 different televisions.
Yes. I have a Sonos in my house. Nobody knows how to turn it on. Nobody. I'm telling you, if you saw the equipment, the radio and television equipment in my family room,
you got good stuff. but you don't know how to run it.
It's all 20 years old.
Well, Sonos is still modern. It's how I listen to,
I have it on my
to the radio station at home.
We don't know how to, like, you don't know. I have one daughter that I think knows how to turn it on and get all the speakers in the house to work.
That's
Dude, I'm just telling
that, that's
you.
Amazing.
But it works for us.
But you got TVG.
I get TVG everywhere.
And you can make a bet.
Of course. You could bet horses in New Zealand at 4 in the morning if you want.
Yeah, yeah. How about last night with the Bulls and that?
Speaking of gambling.
Oh, I thought that like was that looked like the bad beat
of the year to get the season
year.
Started.
And like they were giggling on NBC Sports Chicago as they took it. Goff took it out of the break. And then he informed me. So the Bulls were up, what was it, 6-7? No, they were up 6.
They were up 6. The line was 5.5?
They were 5.5.
5.5?
I had them at 5.5. So it was 6 they were up, and then they hit what looked to be a 2-point basket, the Pistons, at the buzzer.
Right. After a missed 3, I exhale. The Detroit Pistons get the rebound and put it up, and it goes in. And I'm asking myself, did I just get beat on that meaningless bucket?
Right. And everyone, we were all texting. We're like, bad beat. Everyone's mad. But Goff said right away.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He goes, they waved it off.
Yeah.
And it was like a...
I think it was the first statement he made, right? In the Bulls post-game show.
They were totally giggling. Yeah, yeah, they were totally giggling because this goes with our entertainment today.
Yeah.
I want the Bulls to win. I also want my money to win. And yeah. I thought the Bulls would go into Detroit and win fairly easily. It wasn't as easy as we thought. I liked the way they played in the last 20 minutes, and we could get more to that 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. But I thought they were going to cover the 5.5, and then it went from a bad beat to exhilaration.
Yeah, and not just
over
that.
Over like $20.
But I had the odds boost from DraftKings, like you did, for Zach LaVine to be the leading scorer in the game.
He was up. He was boosted to +200 to be the leading scorer.
I also had them to score exactly 14 points in the first quarter. So is that what they shot? Mm-hmm. Something like that? Yeah. It was a weird game.
I was getting tweets when I got home. And I looked to Twitter. I retweeted our show, and then before I turned it on, I saw in some of my mentions people were bad mouthing the Bulls.
Yeah, they scored 14 points in the first quarter.
Same old Bulls. They're trash. This and that.
Was that your buddies? Was that Perry?
No. Perry was later. Perry was in the third quarter and he wasn't watching. And it was like midway through the third quarter, and I tweeted midway through the third quarter. I'm like, look, this ain't preseason anymore. It's time to go. Yeah, and they did go in preseason, but we know that the level of competition totally changes amongst your competition, even with the young Pistons, without Cade Cunningham.
Even with the young bad Pistons.
Right, and they didn't have the number one overall pick in the draft playing last night in Cade Cunningham. So I'm like, let's go here. I mean, they were, and then they went, and I thought they played a really good 20 minutes, but Perry was still upset after the game. Some of my buddies were still upset after the game, and I'm like, look, they found a way to win.
Yeah, it's probably a game they lose last year. You know, find a way to lose. Now they find a way to win.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be, in my humble opinion, there is going to be, a learning process here, despite what you saw and everyone got excited about the preseason. But when you step into the arena and it all counts, like everybody's role is going to have to be defined. And there were times when it felt like it got a little sloppy and out of control late when DeMar DeRozan had the ball in his hands, where Zach used to have the ball in his hands at that particular time. I thought Ball had a little bit of a sloppy game at times
as
well. Yeah,
his handles were a little off. Yeah. That surprised me a little bit.
So, I mean, look, it's going to take some time. But again, at the end of the day, they get a win on the road against an inferior opponent, but... like, that's a game I think last year, obviously, they probably lose, right?
Most of the guys who I'm excited about played well in spurts, at least in the last, like, 20 minutes. I thought, well, you mentioned DeRozan. I thought his mid-range game was very good. He had a surprise 3 down the stretch. He even made a couple defensive plays, which he's not known for. So I thought DeMar was good. Zach was brilliant. Again, like, you know, you put the ball in Zach's hands. He was super efficient. He scored a lot of points. I thought he was finding Vooch for some open looks. Vooch was the only guy who was a little disappointed, and he did not shoot it well. His defense is horrible, which we know. A lot of these guys on the team don't play D. Lonzo does play D. I liked Lonzo's D. He had a 3 or 2 down the stretch, and I liked the way he pushes the tempo. Caruso was
four steals.
He was every bit what we had heard about, just a great guy to have on the floor when you're looking to close. The defense was outstanding. He does the little things that you love as Waddle's microphone. Just a
matter of time. I heard that one. Yeah.
Just a matter of time. You see it caught it, too.
Can we get a gif of that, too?
You saw me catch it,
didn't
you?
Did the Twitch camera catch that? Why is the microphone duct taped? Why do we have duct tape around the microphone?
Are you really asking that?
Can you use one of the other ones?
Because I had it fixed yesterday, like this.
Because what?
They decided.
It's broken.
I know, but can't we fix it?
That could have been significant. That could be significantly worse than it actually was.
What do we need? What do we need to fix a microphone like that? Screwdriver? Phillips head?
Can we take one of these microphones, the holder, and
I think this is going to work.
That one?
I think this is going to work for the remainder of the show. I believe it'll work. This is the way I did it yesterday.
It's the MacGyver microphone.
Of course it is.
Who broke it? Who was it? You, Hoodie, or Yurko?
I don't know. I don't know.
Abdallah, you haven't been in that position
either
for a
way,
couple of days.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why we need to assess or place blame on anybody.
No, let's keep this going. We got, 90 seconds till we're supposed to break? Keep going. Let's talk about the microphone. Who's breaking the microphone? It's a whodunit. It's an ESPN. We have cameras. It's literally, we have cameras.
Who grabs it? Who, you know?
Phrasing.
Well, I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? Was it you, Waddle? Do you think you've been handling your microphone wrong?
Have
you been too handsy with your microphone?
Very possible. If somebody needs to own it, I'll own it. Like, I don't give a dump.
To be fair, really. It fell yesterday, and Waddle kind of jimmy-rigged it.
I just did again.
And then I think JR duct-taped it.
Yeah, JR duct-taped it.
But way to go, JR.
Listen, when you don't have much,
if someone's
going to
MacGyver a bong out of anything, it's going to be JR.
Let's go! Let's tape the microphone.
I found a way to make something out of nothing over here, and it'll work.
All right, so that's another reason to watch Twitch. When will Waddle's microphone fall off the handle?
Then you just set it on your chest like you're an otter and just talk into it like that.
I'd have to lay down.
It'd be fine.
Twitch is brought to you by 3Chi. You can watch, listen, and react to the show on twitch.tv. You can download the Twitch app as well, and then search for our channel, which is ESPN 1000 Chicago. When you're there, make sure you follow us.
Yeah.
We're also available now in HD radio on 100.3 HD2, good old-fashioned ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And by the way, a new Crosstalk Unhinged drops today. It should be up there now. It is the most uncensored, and it is the most unhinged crosstalk we've ever had.
It was weird.
Yes.
It was weird.
But there are a lot of stories there that we have not been able to ever tell on the air that we told with great description on the ESPN Chicago app.
I think that's well described.
It's on the Waddle and Sylvie page. It's on the Carmen and Yurko page. What'd you think of the Bulls? What'd you think of the new look Bulls? Were you like a couple of my buddies, like my buddy Brian wasn't thrilled, my buddy Perry wasn't thrilled? They still covered. They still won. They're learning how to play with each other.
Game one of this new team.
Yeah, I liked what a lot of the guys did for the most part. I thought Io. I didn't mention Io. We mentioned Caruso. Well, what about Io's little run there in the third quarter? Gave them some minutes. He defends, too. You know, Lonzo defends, Caruso defends, and Io defends. Gave them 7 points. He ran the floor well. Almost hit a three.
Almost hit a three.
Well, no, he did hit one three. But it was a span of layup, and then he got an open three, and it just was out. Hey, look, you were talking about Io in the developmental league right out of the gate. He gave you valuable minutes.
Yes, I did.
Gave you developmental. So, let's give him some credit.
He helped me cash a ticket yesterday. Of course.
312-332-3776. We'll talk some Bulls. Hawks could use a win. Want to get to some Bears as well. Bears and Brady have an interesting athlete question on the GOATs, on some of the most compelling, some of the most just athletes all the way around that we've loved to talk about throughout the years. 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
to start the show. We'll move on to the Bears. Waddle's thinking about putting a play down on the Blackhawks. He's got his Hawks shirt on.
They
got
to win eventually, right?
Yeah. No, Vancouver is. They got Vancouver tonight, right?
Yeah. They must really suck because the Hawks are minus 145 and they're minus. Were they plus 170 on the puck line, as the kids like to say?
You want to play the puck line?
I'm looking for value, bro. Like, yeah, I am. You know, so, like, I'm more inclined to play, to give up the puck and a half and search for a plus 170 hit versus lay 145 to win 100. Like, come on. Who does that? Then I hit the second race, the daily double at Remington.
You got everything going.
Then, you know what? We're rolling.
I love it. I love it. So 312-332-3776. How'd you think the Bulls looked? I was, again, it was sloppy early, very sloppy early. I like the way they closed the game. And I like this team. I think there is a lot of room for growth here, and I think they're going to be okay.
I think I was reading some stuff online. I think I would attribute it to you that mentioned it, that like the fact that Zach LaVine doesn't have to do all the scoring is going to provide the ability for him to rest at times and give him a little bit of a breather. So he doesn't have to carry the entire team on his back. There are moments when DeRozan will score and Vooch will score, yeah, which will keep him fresher and, I think, more effective and more efficient.
Especially late. You know, late in games in the previous seasons, he would just have the ball in his hands each and every possession, and it would get sloppy. He'd be inefficient in those spots. But, you know, DeRozan took the ball up the court at about 3 minutes. He drove to the middle of the lane, took a sidestep to the right, and buried a 10-foot jump shot and put the Bulls up, I think, 4 or 6 at the time. And that's like the type of shot that the Bulls didn't have before, and that's exactly what they need because that helps LaVine be more efficient, which has been my knock on him all along. If he becomes a more efficient player, the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah, and I think it helps with the cast. I mean, not only DeRozan, who will space the floor a little bit because you got to respect the mid-range game, but now he's got a point guard. So I think, like, I really believe in Zach. I do. And, like, will he ever truly be a superstar? I don't know. But I've always thought that he could do what a lot of these young players can do and take that next step.
Didn't shoot the three well last night, but that, you know, I think that
nobody did. That whole team did. What was their 3-point percentage last night? It was not good.
No, it was 30%.
Yeah.
And they shot a lot, right? I mean, Vooch was not good yesterday.
No, he was not. But, yeah, I mean,
from three?
7 for 23.
7 for 23. They made 7 threes. They still won the game. They still found a way to win the game. Marcus in Minneapolis, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, guys, man. It's always good to talk to you, man. I just want to say this, man. I always said this a few times before. This is off subject. I've been listening to you guys since, I think, 2012. And I just want to say this just to live in the moment, because one day you guys are going to have one last show. You're going to do your last show. And we'll, you know, talk about it all the time you listen to. So I just wanted to thank you guys for being on air and giving us good content.
Wait, do I understand this right? You have us out the door? Is that what you're telling us?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what is 10, 15 years from now, one day you guys are going to have your last show.
Yep.
You know, we'll think about all of the times we used to listen to you. So
we can still get together and hang out. Sure. I mean, even if we're not doing a show, that means we'll have plenty of time.
I'm always in Chicago, so I want to meet you guys.
Okay,
it'll happen one day.
Done.
Okay, so I want to give my comment. Yesterday, I was on the call and say, first off, I think the Bulls will win at least 50 games because of the talent.
Wow,
I think they have enough talent. I think they can be that good, but my concern is, and I expressed this last year, I don't think Billy Donovan is the end game as a coach to make him a championship team. I always say I don't think he's good at X's and O's. I think we got out-coached yesterday, but I think the Bulls won because they have more talent. I'm not confident in him developing Patrick Williams. Just as far, like I said, X's and O's, I don't think he's good at that. Like you seen yesterday, the Bulls had a lot of isolation plays yesterday. That game shouldn't have been that close with the talent we have. So I'm just concerned about that. He seems like a great guy, but I'm just not sure that he's the the end game is close.
Well, I think thanks for the call, Marcus. I think the game went the path it did for some of the reasons you mentioned earlier, Sylvie. Vooch shot 7 of 21 from the field. As a team, they were 7 of 23 from behind the arc. I mean, they were a little disjointed. I wouldn't necessarily point the finger at Billy Donovan, nor do I believe that they believe that he's the A to B guy and that they're going to hire somebody that takes them from B to C. I think this is their forever coach for the moment.
Well, is there any other league that is more dependent on players than the NBA? We're coaching who are the great coaches in the game today? You'll go to San Antonio first and you'll say Pop, right? But when Pop's roster has been different without Duncan, has he won at a high level?
It doesn't seem to have.
You know what I mean? Like Spoelstra. Spoelstra's really good. Like,
I mean, Steve Kerr won a bunch, but then, you know.
Yeah, talent. When KD left and Thompson
hasn't played a regular season game since somewhere in 2019.
I know all sports is talent dependent, but I feel like this is the players' league. Isn't the NBA the players' league where it's, I mean, is Steve Nash a good coach? Do we even know? You know, I would say a lot of people in the league don't think that the Bucks have a good coach.
That's right. Had they not won, there was a lot of talk that they were going to move on from him.
So, I don't know if this is a Donovan thing. I would think that most of the Bulls' wins this year will be Tibbs gets the most out of his guys, but he's also in the big picture. Does he? You know, he's all in for those every minute of the regular season. He's all in, and I don't think there are many of those guys out there who are like game-changing basketball coaches.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Kurt's in Naperville. Kurt, you're on ESPN 1000.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I was really impressed with the way they played last night, especially the defense. It's been a long time since we've seen a Bulls team play defense like they did. And I was glad to see Io come in so early, and I was just thinking, what's that going to mean for Kobe? You know, he seems to kind of almost be the forgotten man at this point. And what do you think? You think they'll keep him or you think they might try to trade him?
And someone brought that up, too, on the Twitch app where, you know, maybe Io plays less when Kobe comes back. Kobe's still hurt, remember, he had offseason shoulder surgery. They're going to let Kobe just be that sort of another guy who can get points.
Wouldn't you think they would use this year for Kobe the way they used last year with Lowry? Like, they will make a decision. Maybe they make a decision in the second half of this year on Kobe. Or they decide at the end of this year, maybe they move on from him depending on how he plays.
But this is third year, right? Yeah, so he still has another year after this. Where, right? I mean, he has 5 years total.
That's isn't true. It?
So I don't know about long term. I want to know what role he's going to play coming off the bench. Like, Io is more of a point guard, right? Are they going to let Kobe play backup point guard duties? Didn't we learn sort of last year that he's better not and just when he's open, shoot, and when he's not, don't.
And at the very least, you are a deeper team, and this is a good problem to have. Hopefully,
yeah, absolutely. And Kobe doesn't play defense, and that's another guy who plays. Io plays. That's why I think Billy Donovan likes him, and why Billy Donovan, he's going to make some dumb decisions that he missed a layup or two. There are some things he's very raw. We saw that at Illinois when he first came to Illinois, and then he grew the older he got. And we still saw some games where you would have liked him to play better on the college level. But I like that he's a guy that they could actually develop under
Donovan. First professional game, he scored 7 points in 11 minutes. Not bad.
Not bad. Alex in McHenry, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
How's it going? First-time callers. Love you guys. Just want to say appreciate everything you guys do and all that.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, you predicting our the year we get off the air as well? No. Okay.
So I just want to talk about the Bulls, and I love the spacing that they have right now with the roster. It looked really good. And the only concerns I have with the team right now are Vucevic's defense, and I think Lonzo's confidence. I feel like sometimes he doesn't feel like he's as good of a shooter as he really is.
You know, he made a big one down the stretch yesterday, and he took a couple. Maybe he made two, because I felt like he made one in the corner and on the top of the key as well. I think he's worked really hard on it. I don't What I thought was weird is that he was having trouble with his handles, yeah, and he
turned it over four times last night.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so, Alex. And I think they're asking him to play a role that he's really good at.
Yeah, I would be careful jumping to any long-term conclusions about anything. It's one game with a group that has not played together.
But he's right about Vooch. Vooch is terrible. Like Carmen was pointing it out, too. He is terrible defensively. And the team also it's not a big team for rebounding. They have to have all five guys help with rebounding. So if you want to talk some Bulls, I liked what I saw. The Bulls are 1-0. I heard Yurko say they haven't been above 500 since 17.
That is correct.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Then we'll get to Brady. Tom Brady met the media today. What happened last year on fourth down at Soldier Field Thursday night football when he was holding up the four? It's the T-shirts we're making to go to Tampa and we're going to be wearing.
I like it.
There. So 312-332-3776.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I'm going to get to Tom Brady, met the media, talk about last year's game. We had Cameron Braid on yesterday as well. The tight end from Naperville Central, who's on the Bucks.
Enjoy our conversations with him.
He's a great dude.
Yeah.
The guy who introduced us is just a listener. A guy in Chicago who DM'd me one day on Instagram and said, you guys should have on Cameron Braid. He's a buddy of mine. And he reached out today saying that he just listened to the interview and it was outstanding. We could go there. Remind me later, too, to bring up the trade machine stuff with Zach LaVine. I don't know if you did. You see
playing with your trade machine this morning?
It wasn't me playing with it.
No,
I was looking at someone else playing with their trade machine, which is weird.
That's kind of a voyeur move. Yeah,
yeah.
Do you have to go to a website for that or no?
Instagram. Yeah. I saw it on Instagram. They were doing like a trade proposal thing for Ben Simmons. They were going all the teams, and they were saying, here's what a Ben Simmons trade proposal could look like. And they seriously said Zach LaVine and Derek Jones for Ben Simmons. And I'm like,
keep your trade machine in your pants is what I would
look.
Tell.
If I could get him, Ben Simmons, and at a discount, I'd take Ben Simmons. I heard you blurt out that you stay away from him, but I'm not giving Zach LaVine. Are you kidding me? He's your best player. He scores it as well as anybody in the league right now.
He also costs, Simmons is about a $40 million price tag.
Yeah, yeah.
Which keeps you from being able to do a lot of other things.
Yeah. Not doing it. Yeah. I mean, not even thinking about it. I couldn't believe it.
I got one game in the books, and I.
Who
you know,
does that? Which NBA expert thinks of that?
Goes to the trade machine immediately after one game.
Here's what the Bulls should do. The Bulls should think about Zach LaVine and Derek Jones for Ben Simmons. Again, I'm open to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has been a talented guy who doesn't shoot it well.
Okay, like if you want to play the Ben Simmons game, like how does Ben Simmons fit here, and what do you send to Philly if you want to tempt your trade machine, or you want to play with your trade machine? Like,
well, you got to match the salaries. Right. That's going to be tough. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd put my brain power to something.
So
you're
under
else.
No circumstances at a discount.
I would not be inclined to go down that road, really under any circumstances. I just wouldn't. Like, it's not because I just don't think, like, if your goal is to get to the we've seen the issues you have with him in the postseason, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, why
with
do you
with the free throws, with the not wanting to shoot it?
I got to spend $40 million for a guy that doesn't want to shoot the ball, can't shoot it from behind the arc, and has an issue with the free throw line.
And now as a
$40 million,
now as a teammate issue too.
Like, where do I sign up for that?
All right, so let me play you this. Let's get to football here. Cameron Britt on with us yesterday. This is good stuff. Download the ESPN Chicago app to hear the entire interview. As I mentioned, Crosstalk Unhinged dropped today. That's on there as well on the Waddle and Sylvie page or the Carmen and Yurko page. Cameron Bray is a kid who's undrafted. He's played in Tampa since 2014. And he talked about Brady not knowing what down it was at Soldier Field. And he grew up a huge Bears fan.
Yeah, so I knew it was fourth down, you know, that we had just turned it over. But I think a lot of people on our sideline, for whatever reason, they thought it was third down. So I think there was a lot of jokes made about Tom's old age and, you know, remember the downs, whatever. But for whatever reason, maybe it was the fact that there was no one in the stands. You kind of have like a heightened sense of urgency and detail, you know, when the crowd gets going. But yeah, for whatever reason, a lot of people thought that was third down. You know, I'm sure Tom probably asked the refs, like, hey, come on, like, give us one more shot here. But he seems to have a good relationship with every ref. They seem to look out for him. But yeah, that was definitely a low point for us.
So do you bust his balls right away, or do you wait for it to kind of, you know, smooth over or heal before you start going, hey, Tom, what were you thinking?
So that one took about a month. No jokes were made for about that one. We didn't really know, like, because there's no explaining that one away. Like, he definitely had the downs wrong. But he's, you know, he takes the losses hard. So we wanted to let him mellow out a little bit after that one. But, yeah, no, a bunch of jokes were made. And, you know, he's the first one to laugh at himself. So after about a month, he made a couple jokes, you know, letting us know that, you know, he did, in fact, mess up.
Once things started going well for them, you know, it took about a month for that after the Bears game for them to start playing like they were going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Something struck me from listening to that again. And it hit me yesterday and hit me again now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The crowd?
No, that was one thing as well.
Because that struck me like, like with the third down noise, like Abdallah's saying, with them playing this, you know, the air raid sirens, right. Like you understand maybe the down a little bit more.
See, I can't. Like when he said there were several people on our sideline that all thought it was third down. Like
it wasn't just him.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, what the hell's going on your sideline? And I know it's a Thursday night. You're out of your rhythm. You're out of your comfort zone, possibly. You're on the road, but you don't know what down it is as a group.
That's true.
I thought that was strictly a Tom Brady thing and not the rest of the team.
Carmen and Yurko were joking about Arian's whole setup there that big thing that he's got on his chest instead of around his waist or what that is. Like, that thing didn't tell him that it was fourth down.
Yeah, it is odd. He's been doing that for a while now. He wears that over his shoulder almost like a holster. Instead of wearing it around his waist.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I want to talk about Arians, too, because I want to go down a path of what if of with Bears in the past. And here is Tom Brady. He spoke today, and this is his thoughts on last year's game and fourth down against the Bears.
Yeah, that's seems like a long time ago, but actually it wasn't that long ago. So, yeah, that was that hasn't happened very often in my career. For some reason, that happened at that moment. But yeah, that was a tough loss, and I think we learned a lot from that loss that last year. There was a lot of self-inflicted issues. There was a lot of penalties. There was a lot of miscommunications. There was a lot of things that weren't clean. And then ultimately, we have a chance to win the game in 2 minutes by going down and kicking a field goal, and we don't get the job done. So penalties, not coming through in critical situations, I think something that we've come through in critical situations. We've cut down on the penalties, but you know, you got to stress that and continue to stress that all the time. It's not like that's ever a finished subject either. You know, you got to work at it every day, and that's why, you know, you got to sharpen your skills. You take nothing for granted. You come out here every day with the mindset you're going to work to improve and get better and gain the trust of your teammates and coaches, and you know, you can't, you know, take the foot off the gas at all. You got to put it in every day. You got to prove to everybody what you want to become.
That sounds like uncomfortable, Brady.
Well, yeah,
like,
I was going to say he wasn't in a joking mood about it, was he?
He sounds like to me, again, I still think this sits with him. I think he's embarrassed by it. And you know he's got a, you know, and for good reason, he's got a healthy ego. And I think that that's why I think you guys were spot on the other day. Like, I think this game has been circled since the schedule makers dropped it.
Yes.
I really do.
These guys are different. They're wired differently. Yes. When you think they might, oh, it's the Bears. Who cares? You know, He remembers that, and it doesn't sit well with him. It was one of the few games he's been humbled in his career.
Yes, he was embarrassed on national television. He didn't know what down it was.
Yeah, he talked about Khalil Mack going up against Khalil Mack once again.
Yeah, I mean, everything. He's one of the dominant players in the game. He's got speed, power, quickness. He's got a great motor, very tough. I think the impressive thing is the strip sacks and how he gets the ball off quarterbacks. I mean, it's one thing to sack the guy, it's another to knock the ball off the quarterback. But, you know, you obviously can't hold the ball too long when those guys are rushing the passer. We've had a few guys we played this year that were dominant, like Aaron Donald and even last week Fletcher Cox. And but, you know, Khalil's second to none.
Second to none.
Yeah.
And then what about facing remember, this is the game, and they're going to continue as long as he keeps playing, that has the biggest distance between age of starting quarterbacks, Brady and Justin Fields. So what does he think about facing Fields?
Yeah, that's. I'm not going to say anything too inflammatory about Ohio State. That's what you're getting to do, but I'll have my time. Usually Ohio State. This is Michigan State week, so I can kind of – those are the guys that I can kind of go after. That's interesting. Why is there not a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks in the pros?
Oh, boy. There's
a lot of Michigan guys over the years, but not a lot of Ohio State guys.
Eddie on the north side's going to call in.
Yeah, that's a shot.
Because Brady's
well, the question to that was, he was asked by the reporter on never facing an Ohio State quarterback in his career as a starter.
That's the question.
Yeah, that's what the reporter asked him. That's why you got that response.
You didn't get Craig Krenzel against Tom Brady?
See that one.
Apparently, Terrell Pryor has thrown passes in a game against Brady, but Terrell Pryor wasn't the starter. So.
I forget who Terrell Pryor played for. Was it Cleveland?
The Raiders. Didn't he play the Raiders in Washington, too? Maybe the Cleveland as well. Remember, he was bouncing around the league a lot as a wide. He had one good year, I want to say, as a wide receiver somewhere.
I saw an interesting comment from Justin Fields, I believe it was yesterday or the day before as well, about how, yes, this is different. Like, when he was at Ohio State, they normally were significantly better than most of their opponents, and in the NFL, that's not the case.
All right.
Part of the growth process.
Let's talk more about Brady. I've got a couple of questions for you. I've got a couple what-if questions about Brady and Arians. I know V-Nice wants to get in about road tripping down to Tampa. A lot of Bears fans have circled this trip with the nice weather, going to see Brady. It's a great stadium. 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I see there's some comments on Twitter about the Bears and about the Bulls. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv. ESPN 1000 Chicago is our channel. You can download the Twitch app as well. They're arguing again.
What are they arguing about?
About the Ohio State quarterback thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Our buddy Jason Honeycutt is saying that it's a meathead take. And people are like, well, someone brought up, well, if this is the first time ever that he's facing Ohio State quarterback, then it may not be a hot take. But again, it's not about the success of Ohio State quarterbacks or the lack thereof that there has been that is documented. It's to say that the next Ohio State quarterback isn't going to be successful based on other dudes with different skill sets and different makeups. That's the difference here.
I just can't personally connect those dots when I evaluate it. Like, I can't look to what happened in 2014 and come to a conclusion about a kid who played in 2020 at the same school. I just can't. I look at them individually.
But doesn't it end with Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow was there. Joe Burrow transferred because he didn't win the job. But look how good Joe Burrow is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, did he have to graduate or play for Ohio State? And so, like, Justin Fields, I believe, is going to be very good. And I know there are going to be great quarterbacks from Ohio State in the future. They recruit the top players. They're going to get it. Just like Duke players for many, many years weren't good in the pros until several of these guys became really good players because they were different than the past Duke players.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any evaluations about Justin Fields based on how Dwayne Haskins and others have played. Yeah, I just like that doesn't compute to me.
So, all right, Brady, some what ifs. Dan Weider wrote about this today. We talked about it. There was never this big, overwhelming thing here. We talked about it. We'd fantasized about it where Mitch wasn't that good. And in 2020, Brady was a free agent. And we said, what if, what should you go out and get Brady? And a lot of people were like lukewarm at that time because the last image they had was him throwing a pick six against Tennessee. A lot of people thought he was washed. And without Belichick, what would he be? And he flipped that script quickly. And remember, Dan Patrick always reported that the Bears were one of the teams who were very interested.
Listen, he's the greatest of all time. I don't believe that he would have had the same success here last year that he had in Tampa. I didn't think he was coming here more because I thought he's one of the smartest, not only the best player, one of the smartest guys. He goes to Tampa where the weather is
glorious.
You're playing in an offense that will be that will be based around you with plenty of weapons, with an accomplished offensive mind as your head coach and a bright young offensive coordinator in Byron Leftwich. Like, it just made more sense to me that he would go to somewhere like Tampa than he would come here. So that,
where would Tom Brady be today if he had signed with the Bears in 2020? Would he be retired? Would he have gotten his ass kicked like Nick Foles did? Nick Foles lasted.
I
don't believe the Mahomes stuff where if the Bears drafted Mahomes, that he wouldn't have been good. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
But I'm with you on that. If he ended up here now, especially a year later, knowing even more about Matt Nagy,
I think they would
and
have
how
been,
bad his plans have been.
This team would be better. There's no doubt. He would elevate. And the one thing you hear, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but anybody that you talk to that's been exposed to it in even a small way, he lifts everybody in that building because he sets the bar at such a high level. If you don't meet it, you're out. Like, you don't have to be the best in the world at your position, but you better commit to the cause in the same manner in which he commits to the cause. And not only that, he makes you want to be there at 6 a.m. because you get to play with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's just a different animal. So I think they would have been better here. I think that the Tom Brady, the player, would have almost in some ways been a player coach because I think he would have seen what the schemes were here.
We're not listening to this.
What the game plan was, and I think he would have had significantly more impact. I also believe as well, look, I mean, it's very easy to be very critical of Matt Nagy right now. I think if he would have ever taken a trip here and sat down, and I'm sure, you know, being comfortable and being confident in the people you're working with is probably something that's important to him. He's coming from Josh McDaniels. He's coming from Bill Belichick. Again, you go to Bruce Arians, who was a former, you know, NFL coach of the year. I know Matt Nagy was too, but Bruce Arians' resume is significantly more impressive. I think he probably would have come here, been underwhelmed by the meeting.
And then would have flown to Tampa.
Yeah.
What would have happened? What would have happened last year? Where would Brady be today if Brady would have signed with the Bears in 2020? 312-332-3776. V Nice is going to the game in Tampa. What's up, V Nice?
Hey guys, how you doing, Sylvie?
We're good.
All right, Tom, how's it going?
Fabulous today, V.
All right, great.
Or nice.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be leaving for the game Saturday morning, Sylvie. I'm actually it's going to be my birthday on Saturday, the 52nd birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm going to have my Khalil Mack jersey on number 52, as I will be turning 52 on Saturday.
Oh, that's good. I like the synergy. I like it.
What do you got?
Yeah, exactly. Now, Sylvie, I'm going to be sitting in section 317 in the West Upper Level.
317 West Upper Level. What do you say? What do you want us to come up? Is that what you're saying?
No. Can you give me some field passes?
Let me see here. Let me text
V-Nice,
someone.
Give me some field passes.
It is your birthday, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my connection got back to me. They said no.
Oh, come on, Sylvie.
I tried, V-Nice. I just tried. I've been
listening to you guys forever, man.
Yeah. I don't even know if field passes are allowed with COVID protocols these days. I don't think it's still the same as before. I don't know, V-Nice.
Oh, really? What kind of seats are you going to have, Sylvie?
Up. We're going to be high. We're in the upper tank. But are you tailgating before the game?
Probably so.
All right, give me a tweet. Send me a tweet where you're going to be. And we'll do a birthday toast.
Like people. There's going to be like 38 of us leaving.
Perfect. We could use some backup.
On Saturday.
All right, good.
Happy birthday, V-Nice.
Have a good birthday. Safe travels.
Have a good time.
V-Nice. Yeah. I look forward to seeing more Bears fans.
I sat next to somebody with a Khalil Mack jersey on the flight out to Vegas.
Yes, that we saw a lot of, and we saw some Waddle jerseys in Vegas, too. Let's see if I could spot one in Tampa.
Those were the two trips, right? Vegas and Tampa, where this year's big.
I think
if you're a Bears fan, you get to go to games again, you're like, all right, Vegas, Tampa, we're doing this.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with going to Florida, especially when the weather's turning here. Back in 2 minutes, I want to ask you an all-time great athlete question. If you want to weigh in on the Brady topic, 312-332-3776. We're back in two.